We're missing two folks. It's time to call the City Council work session to order for Monday, April 7th, 2014. It is exactly 12 p.m. being held in Conference Room A. And with that, the roll call, Peggy?
Rumigoo?
Here.
Beamer?
Here.
Busby?
Here.
Swanson?
Here.
Sawyer?
Here.
Allen?
And Salins.
And also is Dennis Einstein from the news. Did I get your name correct this time? Thank you. And Seal Rock, right?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I'll start with the additional work sessions not listed on the agenda. And I have one.
I have one.
Which is the League of Oregon Cities Leadership Institute on upcoming classes. I have gone ahead and registered for the one that's here in Newport, which is next week, April 17th to 18th, and it's Leadership in Turbulent Times. So anyone else who would like to do that?
It's not turbulent. the beauty of it is it's right next
right,
door.
Right next door, yeah.
Or actually in this room too, I think.
It's in both rooms, and it's a two-day class, and I can't guarantee this, but I believe we get
lunch.
Well, I know that. But I believe if one person registers, we get a complimentary registration for allowing it to be held here. Councilor Allen has also registered, as well as Rob Murphy from the fire department. So I will check, and if it turns out we have another complimentary registration coming, I can let you know tonight.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
They've tightened up the rules, though, so it might just be one.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's that. And then, Laura, you have one.
Yeah. The possibility of doing something for the postcard over Loyalty Days.
Okay.
The what? I'm sorry.
The possibility of doing something for the Coast Guard over Loyalty Days.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And with that, we'll go to B, which is Amendment to City of Newport, Seal Rock, Urban Services.
And for the machine, Councilor Allen and Councilor Salins are
now
just here.
One. Yeah, at 12:05.
Councilor
Salins
is here. 12:02.
Oh, excuse me. 12:02.
Okay. Well, we got to be
all right. No, I won't. The amendment to the City of Newport Seal Rock Urban Service Agreement, and I'll start with you, City Manager Stephen Eagle.
Sure. I did prepare a little information on this, but I think it's probably more pertinent to hear directly from Derek. So, Derek, why don't you update the council on exactly where we're at with these discussions?
Sure, thank you. Before I get going, there was an additional item that was supposed to be in your work session packet that I want to make sure you have. So
little tiny numbers.
Little tiny numbers. So yes. Got them in.
This literally hot off the press.
But essentially, we've been working with Seal Rock Water to kind of hammer out the details of the amendment to the Urban Service Area Agreement. And we're effectively there at this point. And their district board will be meeting later this week, correct, Adam?
Yeah.
Your board's going to be meeting on the 10th, right?
Thursday,
yeah.
Sorry.
So we have, essentially, there is this chart that I just passed out is Seal Rock Water District's summary of the properties within the city service area and what their payoff amount would be, assuming a July 1st, 2014 payoff in terms of the general obligation bond debt that was in effect or incurred prior to the city taking over water service in the affected area on January 1st, 2008. So it does not include bonds, that debt that was incurred after the city took over service responsibilities. There were two different issues there, I believe. Right, Adam, was 2010 and 2011 or 11-12? 11 and 12, okay. So that's not part of this. And that is consistent with both the city and district's desire to ensure that the properties in the city service area are responsible for debt that was incurred that they, you know, for improvements that they benefited from, but that they're not responsible for debt that was incurred for improvements that were unrelated to the city service area. So, as you may recall, the agreement itself, what it does is a few things. The legal description and map I enclosed are very close to what the final map and legal description will be. There is one additional change that we're working on right now to carve out a pump station site along US 101 near the fire station.
Airport
fire station. So that's going to not be in the city service area. That's a Seal Rock facility, and we want to make sure it's
not. They're doing that pump station?
They're doing that pump station. Okay. Now there's some separate work related to that that'll come before you in a different agreement. We're going to need to provide Seal Rock with an easement, and they're going to be transferring some water assets, and that has to be hammered out as a separate agreement. But effectively, that pump station allows us to shift the intertie further to the south, and will put position the city such that we can provide water service to the airport. So it gets us a step closer in that direction, but also puts us in a position where we can also provide the district with water should they need it.
Provide them with
as a backup water source.
Because our
pressure is lower than theirs.
A plus.
And Adam, you know, jump in if I get anything wrong, but that's my understanding, more or less, how it's working.
Yeah. The pump station is being funded through mitigation funds through FEMA's mitigation program. Mm-hmm. It was recognized some time ago, I think in 2011, after the governor declared this area a disaster from the storm event that occurred. The district has, in fact, as recent as last summer, used water from Newport temporarily. But this pump station, and that's through the existing intertie, the development of this pump station will allow water to go in both directions, effectively serving water to Newport as well as receiving water from Newport. Some time ago, it's probably 2 years ago, when the line under the bay failed due to some issue, this was when I was working for the city of Toledo, we were able to provide water through that current intertie to the city of Newport, or to the South Beach area. This new pump station will allow us to do that more effectively.
So,
we'll ultimately, at the end of this whole thing, will we have that transfer, that pump station?
No, that's going to be a Seal Rock.
That's Seal Rock.
That's why, for purposes of this amendment, we just want to make sure it's not included in the city service area.
Right.
So that's the one final change to the legal description that we're working on.
Is there any advantage to us to leave that out? Or is it more of an advantage to Seal Rock?
Well, it's their facility, so it shouldn't be in our city service area. So it's appropriate that it not be.
Otherwise, we'd have to probably buy it from, in effect.
And there's no real reason to.
There's real reason to. That
is the easement in the future easement that we receive for the pump station, because it essentially is going to set on city property. Mm-hmm. It will be outside the city service area according mm-hmm. to the legal language, but it'll be a district-owned facility and operating. Now how it's operated, the joint powers some agreement for how the pump station is operated and how we provide water back and forth. I think there may need to be some formal process with that, but that's something.
Right. Yeah, there's another step, multiple steps likely to follow after this. But for purposes of this, that's the last change to the description of the city service area that we envision at this point. The draft agreement you have is what I had at the time we were pulling together your work session materials. We have since done some final language changes between the district's attorney and our attorney, and so there's some slight changes in the final version that you'll see. Primarily what it does is it spells out the mechanics, the statutory mechanics of the withdrawal process, should a withdrawal be initiated. Again, this sets the framework for withdrawing properties from the district that are within the city service area, but this agreement itself does not withdraw anything. So I just want to be clear about that.
Okay.
And that's what we've talked about. So what you'll see in the final version is a little bit more explicit language about how the withdrawal process would work for properties that are inside the city as opposed to properties that are outside the city. So it'll be a little bit more explicit in the final version.
Okay.
What this chart says here is that you're looking at about, when you go through it all the way to the end of it on page 9.
Here's kind of a quick question.
Yeah.
I'm taking a look at your memo. Mm-hmm. So, properties within the city limits that are currently served by the water district, once this agreement is entered into and the withdrawal occurs, since those properties are already annexed into the city, that withdrawal agreement will trigger the different payment, correct, for those properties?
Yeah, let me clarify
versus
that.
Versus the properties that are currently served by the city outside the city limits, there's a difference of opinion as to what the triggering event will be on that, withdrawal versus annexation. Is that what I'm getting out of your memo? Because there's a difference of opinion between our attorney and the district, apparently, according to what you wrote.
That has been resolved.
Okay.
And their attorney agrees, now having worked through the mechanics in more detail with Kerry Conley and Spear Hoyt, that Kerry's view on the process was correct. And so essentially, properties, city, should you adopt this agreement and the district adopt this agreement, properties in the city service area that are within the Seal Rock district will continue to be subject to all bonded indebtedness, debt incurred prior to January 1st, 2008, and after, until such time as they are withdrawn. The withdrawal itself is a mechanism for tax relief. And at that point, it is the district's intent, when those properties are withdrawn, that they only be subject to the debt that was incurred prior to January 1st of 2008.
Okay. So that those folks will be paying a slightly higher rate than people that are in the city currently, because of that, those additional bonds, is that correct?
Well, right now, all of these properties in the city service area are paying property taxes to the Seal Rock District. And the property taxes that they're paying to the Seal Rock District take into account all general obligation bond that the district has incurred right now.
Okay.
So right now they're paying their proportional share of the 07 obligation and the 11 and 12 obligations.
Correct. Okay. So then their property tax will probably go down a little bit then. They don't have to pay the full.
If once they're withdrawn, then they would no longer be subjected to the
between 08 and now.
Between 08 and now, correct. They would just be responsible for the debt that was incurred prior to January 1st of 2008. At least their proportional share. That is the intent.
The properties that are outside the city limits that are going to be subject to this agreement, are there going to be any further steps that have to be taken to complete this process for those folks?
There will be an additional step, whether or not the property's inside the city or not. There is a withdrawal process that has to happen to get them out of the district, and that is a process. This sets the framework for that, but the actual withdrawal will have to happen later. And for that to happen, for the properties that are outside the city, that's a petition to the County Board of Commissioners.
Okay, petition to withdraw?
Petition to withdraw, correct.
But there's no requirement that they would then have to be required to be annexed into the city because we're now providing water service to them.
There's no requirement that they be annexed.
Okay.
But what we would do, what would be a reasonable thing for us to do would be to help coordinate a consolidated petition as opposed to asking each individual property in order to go talk to the county board.
Mm-hmm.
So what we could do is help facilitate a process saying, hey, look, we've been working with the district, you know, you're still paying district property taxes, but you're not receiving service from the district. we're willing, you know, this is what that means to you. We're willing to, you know, help coordinate one petition to the county. If you're amenable, we need you to sign ABC documents in a certain period of time. Something like that, you know.
And ultimately, for regardless of whether the properties are within the city limits or outside the city limits, if this process proceeds and withdrawal occurs, they'll be paying less on their property tax statement because of this process we're going through.
That is the objective.
Okay.
Anything else?
The one thing I did note in here is that should the city initiate a withdrawal process within for properties that are already in the city, that are in the city service area, those properties, the total amount of the 07 obligation is about $156,000 in terms of the payoff amount for the city service area. That includes properties that are inside the city limits and properties that are outside the city limits. The portion of that, though, that's attributable to property that's inside the city limits, such as Wilder, is about $35,000, just a little over $35,000. And so from our view, I've talked to Tim about it, that's not something I think, given the small amount of money involved there, that we would want to try to put together, say, an increase to water rates or something of that nature. That's small enough that through our existing rate structure, we should be able to absorb that. We would end up spending more time and effort and cost trying to recover that than it is just dealing with
it. It's not worth the investment of time and money to do it.
Now,
wouldn't be cost effective.
I want to be clear, and Carrie was real clear about this with me, and I got to be really clear with you guys. This is the intent. This is the intent of both the district and the city. To at the time of withdrawal, these properties only be subject to debt that was incurred prior to the city taking over service responsibilities. The district is still going to have conversations with the Department of Revenue, as will we, to make sure that we're not going to run into any issues down the road. But again, this agreement doesn't compel us to do anything with respect to withdrawals. It just sets out the framework for proceeding with the withdrawals. That makes sense?
I understand.
Yes.
Derek, at one point you talked about two scenarios. One is the properties that are located within the city and are served by the city that are currently in the Seal Rock District. And those are the ones that you're talking about dealing with as a collective group?
We have the option of, for the properties that are inside the city limits and also paying Seal Rock property taxes, we can initiate, this council can initiate the withdrawal process unilaterally, or they can go through the same petitioning process the properties that are unincorporated go through. So they have either of those approaches works, but at the end of the day, the city would be responsible for the payoff for those properties that are inside the city limits, irrespective of which process they go through. The city's responsible by statute for that payoff amount, the $35,000 I was talking about. Whereas for those properties that are unincorporated, those property owners would be responsible for the payoff.
Okay, so it's two different pathways depending on whether the property currently is within the city versus in an unincorporated area.
Right, there are slightly different wrinkles between the two.
So if we're going to put this out as a press release, you know, I'm trying to think, the guy reading the newspaper or looking at the website, you know, what do we say? Property taxes to decline in South Beach because of water district realignment, or you know, what's the message we're sending to the guy on the street out there? Because I think it's kind of complicated.
Getting it all straight finally.
I think, you know, Mike. I think
that probably won't be as weird.
I think the point what we're trying to do right now is. This is the first step towards getting these properties tax relief that they should have, at least on the Seal Rock side, because they're no longer being served by Seal Rock.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cleaning up the intertie.
But the effect on the property owner.
Functionally, from the standpoint of water, right. Being an old fire guy, I can think about this. I think it stands to potentially get better service, better coverage, et cetera, both directions.
You might disagree with you on that.
So Derek,
well, if he does, he can bang me in the back.
Kind of an obvious, but maybe a stupid question. So when we're talking about inside, outside the city limits, those outside, we're only talking about those property owners that are within the urban growth boundary, right?
And on the city's water system.
Right.
Right, they're being served by the city, they're inside our urban growth boundary, but they're not in our city limits.
I'm just thinking, you know, typical Joe citizen out there might be going like, well, what do you mean? You know, just like that.
Have all these property owners put on
the phone? We're spreading south or something?
No, the outreach, I think, the big outreach will be with the actual withdrawal process because we don't want to be able to tell them, okay.
There's nothing happening right now. There's just setting up the.
We do hope there's not microbes.
No, I was literally, when I asked the question, I was literally thinking about what you and Dennis would write, you know, to put out to the people so they could understand what was going on, that's all.
So, Derek, who's going to be coordinating the property owners outside the city limits for withdrawal? Would that be the district handling that, since we're handling the folks within the city limits? Are we going to be handling both of things?
At this point, I was thinking that we would end up doing the coordination on the petition within our service area.
And, okay, regardless of whether
it's
within or outside.
Correct.
Because they're in our service area, we would do the coordination.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that do it?
That's it. At this point, this is scheduled for actual. This will be scheduled for actual action at your next meeting, the April 21st meeting.
Yeah, provided the district approves it on Thursday.
They get to talk about it first,
right?
We have this item scheduled for discussion and information at their board meeting on the 10th. It is, I think, the district's desire, just as Derek has stated, and I can affirm that it was not the district's intent to subject those folks within the city service area to indebtedness, you know, after 2008. So we want to work and cooperate with the city to successfully remove those areas, as that is our desire. I'm not sure that we're at final language here with this, but we are close enough that I feel comfortable presenting it to our board on the 10th.
Now, could the board approve it then?
They could choose to, at that meeting, to move it to a decision item and move it at that time and take action on it, yes.
Okay.
And we will likely suggest that that happens.
Okay.
Just so that we can move this process forward in a quick enough timeline to stay within your schedule as well.
Derek, is a copy of the actual intergovernment agreement posted? Is it on your webpage, Peggy, under agreements? Or what am I getting a copy of it? Because this refers to that agreement, and I just want to see everything in context.
I think it is, but I'm not certain.
I know you'll probably have it at the council meeting next time, but I wouldn't mind taking a look at it beforehand.
Okay.
I guess that does it, Derek?
Yeah, that's all.
You're not going to have any action today?
No. Yes.
I did just want to ask if the media wants to do a kind of a story on it, we'd like to link to the city's page because sometimes it takes time to read it. Some of us cycle our stories. And so if they know it's going to be on the website for sure, the final and people talk written, that we would just rather link to that. If possible, rather than having to keep moving the story up every time we get a phone call.
Okay.
I mean, it's really a very limited constellation of people.
I suppose you can coordinate that with Derek, Dave. I don't think really the council has to worry about that. Derek can probably get you the links. I mean, that's what we usually do.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, Derek's here right now. So.
Right, the links. Okay. With that, I will move to C, which is the discussion of utilization. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
Take care.
Of utilization of regularly scheduled work session. Oh, yeah, thank you, Derek.
You're always here.
That's a lot of property.
Yeah. So I will turn the C on to you, our city manager.
Sure. You know, the city's had a practice of scheduling a work session on the Mondays of city council meetings, and I don't know how long back that practice goes, but we have periodically When we haven't had a specific issue for a work session, we haven't scheduled the work session for those meetings. If we've got an issue, we've done that. In talking to Councilor Swanson, she was wondering whether we should have a discussion as a group about whether we should always plan to have a work session or not have a work session on Mondays before, and maybe you want to add to your comment.
Yeah, because this isn't quite where my thinking was going. One of the reasons he and I started off on a couple of different meetings and different topics altogether, and we got to these work sessions. And you've made plain that you're hesitant about it. It's not something that you were comfortable with necessarily. And I tried to bring up why I felt they were important and why we do them. It had nothing to do with addressing things on the current evening agenda. To me, the council meetings are the work session meetings are important for several reasons. And one was that I don't feel with the cancellation of the March 17th work session that we had enough time to discuss the marijuana moratorium and get information on that. And I felt that was a very handy place to have begun that discussion. I also feel that these meetings are not, they're not designed for the evening meeting necessarily, although we just covered some things that will come up in this evening's meeting. But it's also
that's
for
coming up in two weeks.
Okay, yep. Sorry. But that's discussing the future, right? And it's also discussing ongoing, like the marijuana issue. And I feel also, my other point for these is that it's part of our gathering of information. We operate on information, and sometimes we need to ask questions, and sometimes we need to have somebody come in and talk to us. Like, I'd love to have talked to Miranda a little bit more about his perspective on what the police have to do for this marijuana issue that's coming up. So I felt a little uncomfortable having that canceled. The other thing is, for regularly scheduled meetings, these are for the work sessions, and that's things that I stressed with Spencer, is that one of the reasons we've become a very good council and work together very well, and we've received compliments from the floor from the fact that we work very well, are these meetings. Because they're informal, we get to know each other a little bit better, we do a lot of laughing and being silly sometimes, which is important in developing a team, and that's the other reason. That's what I would bring up to him about how important I feel that these meetings are. The other thing that I was thinking about as far as these meetings and counselors, this next year in 2015, we definitely will have two new counselors, and in the worst case scenario, we'll have four. If Mark decides not to run, or if Mark runs and fails, or if Sandy decides not to run, and Sandy runs and fails, we've got four new counselors coming on. And I feel that these meetings then become paramount, where we get those counselors on board as fast as we can and help them become a part of our team with the free exchange of information and discussion that we have right now. The other issue was, this is going to be controversial, I know, and that's fine. I like controversy. For the city to run effectively, we have to have not only a strong manager, but a strong council. That keeps everything balanced. And one of the things I'm concerned about, maybe needlessly, is that, how do I say this, if we're not having a free discussion in our regularly scheduled council meetings like we do now, that we're going to depend on one person's recommendations and background information. And I don't think that's a wise way to go. I think our council would end up not being as strong, and then we have an imbalance. And that's why I feel these meetings are important. Not that you lead us astray or anything, but I just think we need to keep that balance in there. And I think we need the freedom to ask a lot of different questions, and not necessarily at the evening meeting, simply because it just takes up everybody's, the public's time, when these are just discussions we can have around the table. So that's why I brought it up, because I wasn't able to make myself articulate enough to explain. I always had to think. Get a piece of paper and a pencil, you know. And so that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I really was disappointed not to have the 17th be in the discussion on the moratorium. And I feel like I'm voting with my arm behind my back. Okay.
Okay. Oh, wow. One, two, three, and four.
I'll come in last.
Okay.
I'll start with a comment that.
That's good.
First and foremost, when we have these work sessions that we talk about items that are up on the current evening agenda, we have to be very, very careful not to appear as if we're pre-deciding.
Exactly.
Now, having said that, I agree with Laura that although I wasn't a fan of the period of time when we start having these meetings go 2 and 3 hours, getting out of here at 3 o'clock, I am a fan of at least touching base for an hour or so, because I won't get into specifics, but I can think of a lot of times when literally the information that we had by late Thursday or Friday changed quite a bit by Monday. And so without having these sessions, you kind of go into the council meeting without every councilor necessarily, you know, loaded up with all the information that maybe they should have. And, you know, and I agree that we have to have a cutoff, but if those, you know, if those little subtleties of understanding that we can talk out here really end up resulting in a much better decision process in the evening, I'm all for that. Obviously, the other reason for having these work sessions are simply the fact that we have an awful lot to accomplish, and there's going to be times when we need to be working a couple of meetings ahead of time in order to do that. So I guess I would vote in favor of continuing to assume we're going to have a work session every Monday unless it proves that it's not necessary. Be very careful about the not necessary. The other reason I say that is we have a habit of running through adding agenda items that weren't necessarily on here. And so, you know, a particular counselor has an opportunity to bring something up, like the request to hear more about the marijuana issue or what have you. If we can't do it during the noon work sessions, then I don't know, you know, what other opportunity we have. So.
That's what he's for.
Right.
What Spencer's for?
Well, I'll get back to that. Is that it? Okay, next.
Next?
Yes. Oh.
Well, generally speaking, I agree with Laura. I think they provide a good opportunity for more open discussion sometimes than we have without taking up the public's time, whether it's at noon on Monday or midnight on Thursday, I don't care. It certainly doesn't have to be at noon on Monday. By past life, we used to have one on Tuesday and the council meeting was on Thursday kind of thing, but, you know, whatever. But I think I agree pretty much with everything Laura said. Write that down. We'll never happen again.
Marked on my calendar.
But one of the things that I think we're lacking, to digress a little bit within the bounds of this discussion, is I think we don't have a very well-defined process between the informal and the formal. And I'll give you an example. Not that I'm pushing this topic today or anything, but you remember, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a couple months ago, I brought up the idea, let's tax marijuana. And two or three other people says, yeah, that's a good idea, let's look into it. And we started looking into it in the sense that Rob wrote a couple things on it, did some research. And that's only just one example. You have an idea that starts off as just an idea. Between the time that idea gets discussed, worked, and comes to a formal motion in a meeting somewhere down the road, don't really have a good process how that works. I think I could keep bringing, for example, I could bring that topic up at every meeting. Anybody done anything with that? You know, would you guys still agree with me or whatever? You know. Mm-hmm. But there's really no way to say this is how we get from the informal discussion to, you know, stand up and say, I make a motion to do X, you know, in a meeting. And I'd like to see that worked out a little better so that we kind of like if you were one of the things you learn as a junior congressman, you know, is how to bring a bill. Write a bill. We don't have that here. You know, how do I bring a bill up that does something and get it developed from an idea and a concept into a workable, documented, you know, motion that's been researched by staff? Because I don't want to stand up in the meeting without blindside everybody. But just something to think about. And the work session, I think, is part of that process.
Ralph, you running for Congress?
Right. Absolutely, definitely possible.
I thought we were going there.
No, I
agree with a lot that has been said. I know that there's been a lot of different stuff. Now, when I first came on the council, there was four of us, brand new. And I got to tell you, the mayor at the time, Mark McConnell, spent a lot of time with us in additional meetings, not just work sessions in council, but it was an educational process more than anything. And I really appreciated that because I was new and I had no clue what council did. I had an idea, but I didn't know the down and dirty, as it were. But in any event,
do you now?
If you look at today's work session, what we're talking about, there's two issues, okay? One issue we just talked about isn't going to happen for another week. Technically, we could have moved that till next week. And
which
only had your issue
I'm
today.
Sorry, which
the one we just did with Derek.
So having said that, to have a work session for, let's just say, this issue only, I would say it's a waste of time. We could do that on another work session with some other stuff going on. So I guess my thing is, if there's nothing real controversial going on tonight, other than smoking marijuana, I mean...
What?
We're not going to do that. I'm sorry.
This isn't a live test, Dean.
Yeah.
We're not testing anything.
Oh, I thought we were. I'm sorry. Darn. You know, then I would say the work sessions are kind of a waste of time for everybody, for staff and us as well. But I think if we've got some meat that we need to look at, I'm in favor of, even if we have to have two work sessions this week, I have no problem with
that.
Now, as far as the timing is concerned, I hope Dave will chime in on this, because I think we had some a while back where it wasn't on a Monday. It was on a Friday.
Well, so historically, when I was first on the council, this was back when Jones was mayor, Mark Jones, the 4 years I was on the council. So we had, and Peggy was here, we had work sessions.
And lunch, as I understand.
Well, we had lunch, to which I objected. For the record, I objected to that, and I didn't eat the lunch. So I just want you to know that.
I can attest.
She can attest. But I did drink coffee. Mm-hmm. But separate from that, our work sessions back then actually were to review the evening session. Yeah. So
right.
That was actually the way our practice was for many years, and this was probably going back to even, you know, before I got into council. So that occurred for a long period of time. I think that change occurred maybe 7 or 8 years ago, or I'm not sure what changed. Peggy, you would know, but I know when Mark McConnell, and there's a couple of Marks who have been mayors, that's why I'm using last names here. When Mark McConnell became mayor, many of us were on the council, we moved to more, let's get away from talking about the evening session and work sessions. If we have special topics we want to talk about and get more information on, let's do it at the work sessions for future meetings.
Right.
And I think that's the process we undertook, 3.5 years ago. The nice thing that I think Mark McConnell did was, being a former teacher, he liked keeping lists of things. So he always kept an ongoing list of things, and he passed these out of things we needed to talk about and that we have, and he would check off the list.
And so, that's why she's doing it. She's a former teacher.
So what I'm saying is, we've kind of... So our work sessions for the 2 years that Mark McConnell was mayor, we had a list of things we wanted to talk about, and as things were added to the list, we kind of added them and checked other stuff off. For the past year and a half, we've been doing the same kind of process of talking about topics for the future, but I think we have gotten away from more of that formal list, and it's become more kind of... It's become less, I guess, discreet and more kind of flexible, which is good and bad in some ways. So maybe we need to find a balance between what we have with Mark McConnell with a discreet list and what we're doing now with Sandy, which is more flexibility. But maybe there's a happy medium somewhere where we can have a list or something along those lines. So at least we know what we're going to be talking about in the future, and we don't know until the actual document comes out in our council packet. So I think there's a happy medium. But I will agree with everyone that when I was first on the council 10 years ago, when we talked about the evening meetings at the work session, I'm glad the council got away from that. I don't think that was necessary, and I think what we're doing now as a matter of practice is much more appropriate for work sessions.
Oh.
Yep, I'll be tail end, Charlie.
Okay.
Everybody's made good points. I agree with everything that's been said. My problem is that because I have a rather extensive life outside of life as a city councilman, but I'm going to take care of that problem in 7 months and 3 weeks. I'm looking at my schedule for this week. In addition to this session and the Urban Renewal Agency this evening, and the regular meeting at 6, I can't remember what's tomorrow. I have an Orient Coast Bank annual meeting, stockholders meeting, at on Wednesday evening. Thursday, I have a City Conference Room A. That's the city when the councilor meets with the city people here. One day this week, there's a meeting, a pre-construction meeting, actually for the public, but I was interested in going to it, regarding the sewer line that goes from Agate Beach up to along Ocean View and 17th, or
Nye,
and as far as 12th or 15th, something like that. Then Friday, Saturday, we have the Boosters Chamber of Commerce, Presbyterian Women's Sale. I got a hell of a lot going on. So the number of meetings that the council demands is part of the reason I'm not running for re-election. And I'll leave it at that, because most of what we're planning for the future will not affect me.
Well, I'll end with, I can only speak of 3.5 years, 2 as a councilor and as mayor. Year and a half as mayor. And I am to the point where I'm so burned out on these Monday meetings. I think that we had more than our share this last year. I think just because of the intensity of the subjects and things that we did, we met a lot more than...
Composting.
Well, that plus you go back.
Yeah,
we
hired a city manager.
And we had some, you know, some things, the whole thing that happened.
Is that
the
same as composting?
Right. But what I'm seeing, and as you look at people that you want to engage in city politics, you're not going to get anybody that's got a real job. I mean, you're going to get people of my age. We're nice, but we're still older. And the thing is that I don't see, if I had a real job, 8 to 5, 40-hour a week, I couldn't do this job, no matter how much I wanted to and to be a part of this. I mean, David, you're out there.
Well, I have my own practice, so I'm flexible.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know.
Right.
But you know, I know that because I'm on the council, there will be time demands. So. You know, it's not something that I wasn't anticipating.
Right.
But you just have to, like Dick said, you know, there's a lot else going on. You just have to try and work around it the best you can.
So I'm saying that, like today, I don't think we needed one. I mean, I think we could have waited next week. Mm-hmm. So I propose a compromise. I think that if we have them as needed, mm-hmm. and that might be one a month, we may get off 6 weeks, or we may meet twice a week for 3 weeks. But
I agree with that.
I don't think that's what Laura had in mind.
Oh, I think Laura had in mind having
that. That be regular.
Oh,
schedule.
I don't know. I didn't know what.
And I just.
That's the way I read it.
And then, as the role of mayor, this is about the only noon I have free. Thursdays, I am doing things out in my role as mayor. Thursday, I'm at the Rotary. Friday, I always try to make chamber. Wednesday, I meet with citizens. Tuesday is my day. And then Monday, when you have this, then that really cuts in, especially when you're meeting at 5:30, and sometimes we don't get out at 10:30. I think that as needed, and that's one of the reasons that I like how Spencer is setting up how the council works, is his suggestion that we do that too.
Andy.
Yeah.
So I don't think necessarily, correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, that the sort of, it's kind of like the Monday noon is a placeholder. And on the as needed basis, I guess I'm thinking that an individual counselor wants to work with Spencer on an important enough issue to call a work session then that would be a dialogue between Spencer and that city councilor too, right?
Sure.
And so I wasn't suggesting that we just pile in here every Monday at noon regardless, you know, because there might be something we want to talk about. And then also, from the perspective of working people, I can attest to the fact that the only reason I'm able to do this is because of the specific nature of the job I have with the county.
Right.
I mean, 90% of the jobs that the county has, I wouldn't be able to do this. My job requires me to work an awful lot of weekends, particularly during the summer, a lot of evenings. And so they're gracious enough to allow me to flex my time in order to be able to do this. But, you know, if you're a person who has an 8-to-5 job, you know, forget it. You'd never be able to do this.
Well, okay, just a second. Spencer, were you next?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I had my hand up.
Anyway. Then you were next.
just a couple thoughts on this issue. Basically, what I have been doing is if staff basically generated a specific issue that they felt be appropriate to have a work session on, such as Derek did today, mm-hmm. on this Seal Water agreement, then I've gone ahead and scheduled the work session. And it could be a scenario, I guess there's a couple issues I was going to try to respond to, but as far as Ralph's process, as far as how do you get something from idea to an agenda, you know, any individual counselor can call us up prior to the deadline agenda and say, I would like taxation of medical marijuana as a discussion item for the next Monday meeting. And then it goes on the agenda. Any with our policy now, any citizen can do the same thing. And so I think from the process, because one of the concerns that I've had about the work sessions, at least in the past, is, you know, there's a potential opportunity to, you know, kind of get maybe off track a little bit or accelerate to something faster. And I think we've kind of addressed that because we aren't, you know, bringing up a new idea today and then adding it to the agenda tonight. So I think that part's been addressed and there's predictability in what's going to be on the evening agenda now and what the council's going to be asked to act for. The second issue is from, you know, I can see from Laura's point, you know, the value of having discussion on certain items, but then the question would be, you know, what items would be on the work session? And would a council member be able to say, hey, can we have a work session on this, or maybe develop that, you know, the Mark McConnell's list of issues that people would like to spend kind of informal time talking about, you know. So I think there'd have to be some sort of process put into place that would kind of govern what sorts of things are we going to talk about. Because I can't guess what's, you know, the medical marijuana, for example, was the issue talked about on the 17th, and that was set up so that we're actually acting on the ordinance at a separate meeting. So there's been some time there, but I don't know with that meeting going out what's going to be important to you to deal with, unless I, you know, hear from you individually saying, you know, I need to have some more information on this. So how we would determine what we would talk about, unless it's a purely open work session, is something that we'd have to sort through.
I think that's important because, I mean, my thing about regularly scheduled work sessions, it didn't mean that we had to do it every time, mm-hmm. because I know there are times when it's not that drastic, and hopefully this year we won't have as many meetings as we did this last year, which was awful. But on the other hand, I still think, I mean, you're right, I don't think there's anything in place really, or that maybe I just wasn't aware of, where I could say I would like to have a work session to discuss this and this and this. And so
but it was ironic. We are having a work session to discuss work sessions. So
right.
Well, and I just, yeah, I mean, you know, and that worked. But I just, and you know, whatever. I'm just in favor of having, I guess, a permanent place marker, like you said, but making sure that we all understand that we can call or ask for.
Yeah, any council member can
any citizen
can ask to have any item on on our regular council agendas and for council members, if council members want to schedule something to talk about at a work session, just let us know. We'll just help you do it on work sessions. Mm-hmm. I put it on mm-hmm. the next work session. Mm-hmm. And so that's because I try to the extent I can, I try to, you know, foresee those issues that I think are going to be concerns of the council members. But, you know, there's seven individual council members, and it's impossible for me to figure out exactly what's going on, you know,
with
each
of you.
I try. I really do try, but I'm not perfect at it. So anyway, that's, you know, that would be one process that folks could do, just to let us know if there's something that you want in an upcoming work session.
Well,
David? He had his hand up.
Okay. You know, I guess my view on the work sessions over the past couple of years has been, we have the noon on Monday before our evening regular meeting as a placeholder. I mean, that's kind of when we're
right.
going to
yeah.
perhaps get together. And then if an issue comes up that really is going to require some ongoing discussion before it becomes a formal action item, for example, the compostables issue and a few others, no, that's when we would utilize our noon work session to
yeah.
have those preliminary discussions, get people here in the room who are going to help advise us and consult with us on those issues.
Right.
And that's kind of where I kind of look at the work sessions. You know, kind of every day-to-day type of things that might require some discussion, I'd like to reserve those for the evening meeting when more people from the public can
exactly.
be there. You know,
right.
Even if we can have a discussion at the noon work session, if we can do it at the evening meeting, my preference is the evening meeting, because really we're doing the public's business, and I'd rather do it at a time and place in which the public can actually be there.
Right.
So for me, the work sessions are really reserved only to get more information to help advise us before we make a formal decision at a more open public meeting in the evening. Now, as far as getting those items scheduled, perhaps what we can do is just have, you know, each council member, if they feel there's going to be an issue coming up that they'd like to discuss for informational purposes, they should just send it to Sandy and Spencer, and then the two of you can put together a list, send it out to the council, and we'll just kind of have a list of items that perhaps we'll be talking about in the future. And if it gets to the point where we need to discuss them at a work session, then I'll leave it up to Sandy and Spencer to kind of get it on the agenda and schedule it for us, and then we can go from there. But again, I think there needs to be a balance as how we utilize our work sessions.
I like that idea.
I do too.
You two can organize this and decide whether we need to have one because of the pile of the stuff.
And can I interrupt? And I will, and then it's right to you. I'm interrupting. The reason, what I'm thinking as you were talking, David, there can be a sign-up sheet in our closet thing. Where and it can be a future agenda items, and it's similar to when I taught printmaking and you signed up for press time. In other words, it's there, and you want in 2 weeks you want to see where in the heck is the taxation going on marijuana, and so you're going to put there, sign your name, and it should be there where I can look at it, Spencer can look at it,
and the rest of us can
look at it, everybody can look at it. Yeah,
put it online.
And then if it comes up, like if you put taxation for marijuana once and it goes, nobody hears and it's really quiet, and you put taxation for marijuana, when that keeps coming up and we have for through time or something else happens that takes that time away from there, then we can really address this and say, hey, look, let's move this up, because Ralph's put that up there three times.
Yeah. Sandy, let me add one thing that I think we should put it online, because as you said, Spencer,
right.
trying to get the public more engaged,
right.
we can have a list as council members, the public can add to that list, and then you, as our city manager,
right.
maybe along with Sandy, can say, you know what, this citizen brought up a good point, let's get this on the agenda for discussion
right.
and actually have that citizen here to talk about it with us, because it might be a more important, it might be an important issue for the future. So
right.
I'd like to get the public more engaged in helping us, you know, look at the issues. Again, I don't know what someone said back there, but there was some grumbling going on.
It included the name.
But I think, you know, there's a balance, obviously, but again, I think, you know, we're trying to resolve issues on behalf of our constituents and the public.
Right.
If they have issues that we need to look at, then perhaps there might be an opportunity to look at it during those noon work sessions.
Okay. So, Who was next? Ralph. Okay.
This is a pretty straightforward question. Okay. We keep talking about noon on Monday. Is everybody happy with noon on Monday? If we were to put it before the evening meeting, we automatically constrict ourselves on time by doing that.
Right.
It has its advantages. Yeah. So we could have a 5:30 meeting or a 5 o'clock meeting.
Right.
I mean, personally, I don't care one way or the other, but in a way, then you only got to go to one meeting that's just longer. It's just a question. Would you rather keep it at noon on Monday, or you want to think about putting it some other time?
That's something that the list would show, you know, if it's not. I think we ought to be flexible enough that we can change the time around.
Something you can do in a half an hour and have it at 5:30 on Monday.
Right,
if it's going to be a full hour or
sure,
a little more,
right.
Put it in the middle of
right.
The
day. That's true. If it's a short meeting, we could do it.
Right.
Real quick.
Right.
Get
I haven't seen too many short meetings yet.
So. Right. But that's our goal to work for
tonight.
So
yeah. But I do like David's sure. idea of putting it online for a couple reasons. We can all look ahead, and the public can look ahead.
Yeah.
And we can also see, Ralph suggested it, I don't have to.
Right.
You know, and then it's kind of like going back to Mayor McConnell's list that he had. He would do this subject this month and this subject this month. We can have those down there and we can kind of prioritize how we want it.
Maybe the news media can ask somebody. It seems some news media folks like to get involved. So, they can add to the list too. And I'm being serious about that.
Yeah.
You know, news media folks show up here. If they feel there's an issue we should talk about, maybe about public transparency, let them put it on the list.
Yeah.
They're part of our constituency.
Yep.
Okay. So
only if they live in the city.
We're looking at time. It is one. We've gone on an hour. So can I say there is a consensus that we have a compromise that is as needed, that we will get a list, piece of paper with a pencil down, you put down your what you want and a possible time, and you can make an editorial comment. I ask for this 3 times and nobody's listening to me. This can be read by Spencer, by anybody, and online. And that we leave it to the discretion of Spencer and me to put in together a meeting with those things addressed.
Actually, I'm fine with it. I simply wanted to get this out in the open so we have a workable system.
It's a public document, a public record. We'll post it online for people to look at. That's all.
Yes, sorry.
Just before we adjourn, I have one last item.
Well, we have
I
have to request an excused absence, so that's all.
Oh, okay.
Before we adjourn. No, I'll be here tonight.
Okay.
Will you be here tomorrow?
Yeah, just one clarification.
No, Sandy will be here.
I think there's a real benefit of having slot that's reserved for doing these work sessions. There was some discussion about should we continue with Monday at noon, or should we have 2 time slots that would include 5 o'clock or 5:30 before the council meeting? What's the thought?
I think if it's a real short thing, like we're talking on this issue, on one thing, then 5:30 or 5 is fine.
Right.
But if it's going to take longer, then it should be there.
Any possibility to take longer.
Right. But
I have no problem with doing
that. Would hang it on
if
Monday.
If necessary.
Yeah. Right.
And then the second issue is if we do have a line on posted online, I think if the public can add ideas to that, I think we need to be careful to make sure that those are just suggestions for work session items, because we do give everyone an opportunity to actually address the council
at the end
right now,
meeting.
And I don't want to have a expectation that if someone says meet
we'll
on this
up,
issue.
Leave it up to you, Spencer, to put in the, I guess the way I look at it is, you're the one that's going to be putting this list together along with Sandy.
Right.
So, you know, if we're going to try at least to some extent get the public engaged, which I think is important, let's just make sure the language we have on the website is as far as what their suggestions can or cannot be or what we're going to do with them, make that as clear as possible, and then make sure they just send the suggestions to you and perhaps Sandy so we as a council don't get inundated with them. You know, I'll let you and Sandy kind of work through those issues, and then you just keep us advised as a council with the ongoing list as items get added to it, and then we can at least be informed that way. But I don't want to have to be involved in that process. I'll leave it up to you and Sandy.
And I think typically there probably won't be a lot of items.
There probably won't be, but just in case, I'll leave it up to you. You should be the one handling that on our behalf.
Right, and again, if we start the list, for heaven's sakes, write on it, you guys. I mean, put that down.
Yeah, but what you could do, Spencer, is before we put the stuff online, why don't you come up with some draft language as to how we're going to acknowledge this on the website. We'll take a look at it as a council, and then if it looks good, that will be the language you'll be utilizing for the website as far as getting the public engaged.
I'll put something on the next agenda with a kind of a policy description.
Yeah, that's right.
We have it all the same.
Now, are we talking about a work session?
No, really.
No.
For approval.
Only if Does that make sense, Spencer?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The other thing, too, getting back to the example of taxation on medical marijuana, I think the other advantage of placing it on the agenda, if a council member has that particular interest,
the day agenda or the evening agenda? You're talking about
the regular council action meeting.
It's council.
The night.
The evening meeting. Okay.
There's an actual vote and direction given to know whether a majority of the council members are supporting exploring that particular issue. So I think after preliminary discussion, it's probably appropriate for it to get moved to a regular agenda at some point in the future, just to have that legitimate buy-in before time is spent pursuing those kinds of issues. And in fact, on the medical marijuana issue, the one recommendation issue on the taxation thing for tonight's consideration, based on the preliminary discussions that
we had. My original suggestion, by the way, just for the record, was regular recreational marijuana,
right?
Really after the medical.
The dispensary, right? Yeah.
I mean, it might turn out we do both or none of the above, but my direction was for the people having fun, not for the people.
I wasn't clear on that. Right. No, really, I wasn't. Yeah. You brought it up, so I'm glad you clarified that.
I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be both.
No,
and some, I know, I realize some governments are looking at it.
Right. And so, what is the date you need to be excused?
Okay, so not tonight, but at our next Monday meeting, we potentially would have a work session.
21st.
Monday night. And then we have the volunteer appreciation dinner on Tuesday.
Okay.
And the situation is such, as many of you know, I'm an elected director to the Lickett Soil and Water Conservation District. And last November, I actually was elected to be the first vice president-elect to the state-level Oregon Association of Conservation Districts.
Congratulations.
Long story, short story, we have a huge cooperative grant pending, OWEB, Department of Ag, blah, 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 all lost confidence completely in the current president and treasurer.
Oh, no.
So we all met in Redmond last week, and I'm now the new president.
Oh. Lucky
which
you.
Means, which was something I wasn't planning on stepping up to.
So what are we going to do in Afghanistan? I'm sorry.
So the point being that
when's the inaugural ball?
Like many state-level organizations, there's a Soil and Water Conservation Commission, and I basically am supposed to be there Monday and Tuesday of our next regular session. So
do I have a motion to excuse?
That was a hell of a speech.
So what is that going? You guys
asked for an excuse, and I'm going to give it
to you. I'm going to ask for an excuse. It's going to be simple.
Do I hear?
I'm going to be gone. Motion to excuse Councilor Salem.
I'm going to be out of the country the first Monday in June, 2nd of June. Just one. I'm going to be gone
for the rest of the year.
No, I'm going to be gone for 10 days.
Anyway, here in a second. They moved in second that we excuse Mark and have a lot of fun. All those in favor.
Yeah, well, I just want to be real clear about that.
Who made the motion in second?
Dean did.
I made the motion.
Second.
Did that include Councillor Beamer as well?
Yes, we might as well throw him in there.
I'm not bringing mine up yet. President, it's not me.
Could I get back to two issues real quick?
Yeah.
One was you were talking about the camaraderie that we have.
Yes.
I propose that we have a barbecue at your house once a month.
Okay. I would gladly have you.
And second of all, the mayor said that she's clear on Tuesday, so the testing for the marijuana issue will be at your house tomorrow.
Hey, I'm for that. Secondhand smoke, I'll deal with. Yeah, right.
Dave's over there right now.
But don't inhale.
Yeah, right.
Actually, we should probably go to your neighbor's house, because when I was campaigning last time, he was lighting up and
on summer evenings, I get close to his house. Anyway, Laura, you wanted to bring up the loyalty days.
I actually brought this up to you at an informal conversation, and I said something about August 4th, which is the national postcard day, whatever you want to call it. And you suggested perhaps something at Loyalty Days.
Which
and, you have anything else to do.
But.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring it up just in case there was an idea or we wanted to do something for Loyalty Days for the Coast Guard, and we need to get a decision made reasonably quickly because the first weekend of May is Loyalty Days.
And what I think are the two people, who are the people who are.
Robert Smith.
Well.
What?
No, who are doing Loyalty Days.
Oh, Patty Louisiana.
Patty Louisiana.
And I just got something from her.
She's planning to be here tonight, but she said she won't be here until after 7 because she's thinking of the old agenda when action items, a lot of items didn't start till 7.
Okay.
And I told her it was on the consent calendar and it might be.
Well, and also isn't Chief Miranda part of that too?
He may be since he's retired Coast Guard, but he won't be here tonight either.
Well, those are the two people I had planned to talk to.
That's fine. I just wanted to keep it up
and
going.
The other thing I want, since we're on Coast Guard, and I can say this now, it kind of ties in, and I don't know where to put this. This is one where I don't know whether it's budget. It doesn't really fit with what you said, but it's close enough. At least it's under Coast Guard. The Coast Guard has approached me. This was like a couple of years ago. They would like what Astoria has. In addition to the flag that we have in front of the City Hall, they would like this monument that says Coast Guard City. It isn't that expensive. Our guys could do the base, and it's just kind of like this. It's just concrete, rectangular thing that says Coast Guard City. And so if that were, then the Coasties who support the Coast Guard here, and I've forgotten their names, and I will look it up, are very eager to have that, and I was thinking if we could do something with Loyalty Days and maybe get them to put that there, it would be a nice ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, you're all talking about the Coast Guard. I think you all saw that communication with the commander of the air unit down in the Bend. So all of this kind of, in a way, ties in. I mean, I think we came awful close to losing our auxiliary air station here, and nobody even knew about it.
Right.
The air. Just remind me what the situation.
Well, they were going to close the
air
base here at Newport because of budget cuts, and they just now decided to keep it open, and we didn't even know that was happening.
Right.
And now it's only scheduled to stay open until the 15th, so, I mean, 2015. There's a difference.
Okay.
Next week. No, but I mean, it's something we got to, as a council, keep in mind.
Definitely.
That's a really important service they provide
us.
Oh,
I mean, the service wouldn't go away exactly, but the aircraft would have to come from either Astoria or North Bend.
Yeah. I recall when they first did the thing, Congressman Acoin was our congressman, and there was a lot of work to get it here in the first place.
Fisherman's Wife had a great deal to do with that.
So, I mean, it's something we don't want to let go.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so, we'll keep that thought. We'll work on that. That's one of those that goes on the list for very quickly, and with that, we're adjourned.
Fantastic.
No, I guess I'll go home.
This is a bit of
monument ready to go.
I know.
I have long.
We can come down. We can go back. We can have a presentation.